Ware. She is the Academic Clinic Manager at the Aurora University of Wisconsin Medical Group. She received her undergraduate and graduate degrees, including an MS and an MPH, in microbiology, Afro-American studies, clinical laboratory sciences, and international public health. She has held several public health positions at the CDC and at the Milwaukee Health Department. And she's going to be speaking to us about the design of community health partnerships for ED referral discharge to primary care from an urban hospital. Again, highly related to the themes of the Affordable Care Act and the sort of intended direction that that is trying to push the healthcare delivery system.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone. As he has described, what I'm going to be talking about is basically emergency department referral discharge to primary care. I have no personal financial relationships to disclose. Basically, I'm going to just describe the process of the caregiver online scheduling model, which we just abbreviate everything these days anyway, so it's COS. It's a patient-centered emergency department to primary care referral process, so we're looking at patient satisfaction with that. Development of an internal health system and external community health clinic partnership to provide primary care, and we'll get into the details of that a little bit more, but it's obviously related to access to care, and establishment of operational processes and workflows to shift patient utilization of the health system, which is population health management. So Milwaukee, one of the things that Milwaukee is known for is our infant mortality rate being so high, and it's something that our particular hospital in Aurora Sinai Medical Center is in the center of helping to work through with community health partners. So that's one way that we have already been working with community health clinics around us to network. Aurora Healthcare itself is a large integrated delivery system that is located within Wisconsin along I-43, if you're familiar with that area, on the Lake Michigan side, and then northern Illinois. The emergency departments are collaborating more closely with local health clinics to design the care delivery systems to improve, obviously, patient care, decrease health costs, and improve health populations. And for Sinai, we have, as many emergency departments have, patients who use emergency departments for ambulatory care sensitive conditions. So we needed to find a way to educate our patients on how to better access the healthcare system. So when I was presented with this as a project, I actually used my family as a model of how to figure out how to do this. Part of it is because this hospital is like our, it's the only downtown hospital within Milwaukee, which is huge because Milwaukee is a large metropolis. For it to be the only hospital that survived is a major success. It's actually two blocks away from where my grandmother and all of my cousins and everything, we all grew up. So this is the hospital everybody was born in. Anytime we had an accident, that's where we ended up, in the emergency department, not necessarily in the clinics. So I kind of sat down and thought through, how does my family use or misuse the system, and how can we educate them on how to use it better? And with myself being a clinic manager, I knew how it should have been used now that I'm on the other side of it. So this was the background of creating the model. The appropriate resources were needed to educate patients on the importance of establishing care in a medical home. So the clinics that we're referring patients to are certified NCQA Level 3 certified patient-centered medical homes. So we are trying to make sure that patients understand what that means. When you say a medical home, we send you to a referral. We're sending you to a place that's not just for an appointment for today, but it's an appointment that it's a start of a relationship that we want you to have with these clinics long term. So we have ED schedulers that's what their jobs are, is to make sure that patients know that this is how we want them to, what we want them to do. Their primary care appointments, they need to have access to those. So we had to create relationships with the community health clinics because Aurora Healthcare itself couldn't take all of the patients. So we had to have a way of talking about that and managing that particular flow of patients. Sinai, we had to also employ that dedicated staff. We actually did not budget for the staff initially, but we did have leadership that believed enough and strongly enough in the model to go ahead and hire temporary staff to pilot the model. And then now we've been successful enough that we've actually hired the people that we originally employed us as temps for this particular position. So we needed to develop a process to promote patient access of the healthcare system, and the healthcare system had responsibility to facilitate this process. So through the caregiver online scheduling process, we want to decrease the number of repeat patients in the emergency department, decrease the no-show rate for these patients to get into the clinics, reduce long-term health care costs, and minimize the reliance on emergency departments for their primary care needs. So this included the key elements are healthcare partnerships, dedicated education, dedicated scheduling staff, technology, the NAS scheduling technology, and guiding principles were Aurora Healthcare's mission, vision, and values, as well as the NCQA's patient-centered medical home recognition, as well as CMS's triple aim of patient satisfaction, cost control, and patient health, or population health, I should say. So the healthcare partnerships, Aurora UW Medical Group, we're actually a teaching, we're an academic medical group. My particular clinic that I'm a clinic manager for is internal medicine. And so we have a lot of caregivers, we have 200 caregivers, 150 residents, and 8 different training programs. So we had a lot of capacity, especially for primary care workers, primary care physicians, who really are residents that really wanted to go into primary care. So we created an opportunity for them to see more patients through using this model. Milwaukee Community Health Clinics, there are 15 different sites among 4 community health centers in Milwaukee. They served over almost 78,000 patients in 2010. And so we have created great relationships with each of these clinics in order to have provide access to health care for our uninsured and underinsured patients. So this is just a map of where some of those clinics are located. Dedicated staff. So our dedicated ED schedules, they verify insurance. They tell you what the patient, they base the patient's clinic appointment on their diagnosis. They make sure the patients get scheduled into the system. They give them their appointment before they leave. And that's a huge point. We need to make sure the patients understood exactly what their next steps would be upon before they left the emergency department that day. Bedside is a scheduling tool that was created within Aurora. You access it through Aurora's intranet, and it allowed us to schedule appointments in real time, which was previously a problem for us. We were doing virtual appointments, and then 2 patients would show up, both at 1:30. One's an emergency department patient. One was from from having regular clinic directly, and so we are able to avoid that now. MyHealthDirect is a third-party company, which is a web-based software for healthcare providers, and the community health clinics subscribe to the MyHealthDirect scheduling system. So we're able to schedule patients with real appointments through that system. So therefore, we're able to give them the follow-up instructions or the pre-visit instructions that are specific to each site based on what information they have loaded into MyHealthDirect. This is just an example of what an appointment confirmation looks like for a patient if they use bedside scheduling. This gets printed out and handed to the patient. This is what it looks like for MyHealthDirect. So very similar in nature, but in how they look, but it just explains to you what the patient's request was and where they're scheduled. Their modeling guidelines, as I spoke about earlier, here's just a visual of some of those guidelines. From Aurora, and this again is uploaded, so I'm just not going to go through all of the different sites. Patient-centered medical home, again, all the clinics that we referred to, at least within Aurora, are patient-centered medical home certified, and then the elements of patient-centered medical home and the coordinated care, which has a dotted line around it, is what we're working towards in having this particular model created. Evaluation method, so as each of the ED schedulers make an appointment within the bedside scheduling system, each of those patients were tagged. And so what we were able to do was look at how they used Aurora Healthcare. Again, it's an integrated delivery system. So anywhere they touched Aurora either 1 year prior to making that appointment and then every time since then is how we were able to measure how these patients utilized our system, whether it was how we wanted them to or not. External appointments, again, were tracked for the community health clinics just to determine where appointments were made. So this is a workflow of how the patients entered into the emergency department, what the process was that the ED schedulers took in order to get them scheduled, and then what kind of after appointment process took place if the patient did not actually show for their appointment. So that is one of the handouts that you already have. We were able to show that through August, and it started March of 2010, through August of 2011, we had a almost 50% show rate for existing patients and as well as new patients. So that's a huge success for us as a system, because that means that our ED schedulers prompting and reminding and having patients reschedule if needed and making sure they had transportation, all the things that we've done to facilitate them making it to the clinic actually are working. For patients using, and 83.7 of the appointments that were made for established patients, and 16.3 of them were made for new patients. And again, as you saw before, 45% of the existing patients arrived for their appointments, and 47.2 of the new patients arrived for their appointments. This is talking about the shift in reliance from the ED and hospital to the clinic, which is what we wanted to happen. And I'm going to show you in a more visual way. This is the same data, it's just the graph is easier to read. So prior to caregiver online scheduling, you see that the Medicaid, we broke it down by obviously commercial, Medicaid, and Medicare patients. So I'm going to concentrate on the Medicaid patients. So looking at the Medicaid patients, their hospital use before caregiver online scheduling was 73.6%. Since their caregiver online scheduling, it's down to 54.6%. Their emergency department went from 49.6% down to 29.3%. And their clinic increased from 26.4% to 45.4%. And that's exactly what we want to happen. And that particular pattern was followed whether the patient had commercial, Medicaid, or Medicare. All of them decreased their ED in their hospital, and they all increased their clinic. And that's what we want with the patient-centered medical home process. The Medicaid patients, and this is just repeating what I just spoke of how the rates went the way we wanted them to and the direction we wanted them to go. This is just an example of the fiscal trends which followed, obviously, the reliance trends. The fiscal trends went down where we're in the ED and the hospital, and they went up in the clinic. The monthly average of appointments that were made in the community health clinics went from 51 in 2009, total appointments made, or average appointments made per month, to 105 in 2010, which is when we started the program, to 151 in 2011. Now, I have to give it to the ED providers. They were actually the ones that were making appointments for patients prior to 2010. So they would stop their clinical care, and they would stop long enough to give a patient appointment before they left. So I give them credit for what they did do, but it obviously wasn't enough of what needed to happen. For January to August of 2011, we've had 1,813 appointments made using MyHealthDirect to community health clinics, and that's between the 15 different sites. So this just shows you how many of each appointment we were able to send off each month from January to August of 2011. And some of this you can see, we were fully staffed from January to May, and then we went down to one person in June by personal attrition. And then in August, we hired additional staff, so you can see the numbers went back up. So we were able to have more coverage. We cover from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Friday, and 6 a.m. to noon on Saturdays and Sundays. So we try to have enough coverage. So the creation of working relationships with community health clinics was obviously key, a huge key to caregiver online scheduling success. Again, we wanted to decrease the number of repeat patients, and we want them to find medical homes. So this is what the process was created to do. Education of staff about scheduled patients, about the care coordination within a medical home, the use of online scheduling systems to refer patients to these quality medical homes, and the implementation of active referrals was very important. For patients that were scheduled using caregiver online scheduling process, the majority of these patients' reliance on the ED for their primary care needs has shifted into patient-centered medical homes, irregardless of their payer type. So the COS model follows the principles of patient-centered medical home. And as far as the future of the caregiver online scheduling process, it has been chosen as the gold standard for Aurora Healthcare in how we deliver, continue to deliver the best care possible to all of our patients. So it's expanded to all the Aurora Healthcare hospitals, of which there are 15. And then now it includes scheduling patients from follow-up appointments, dental, and other independent health clinics for their hospital appointments as well. So we've expanded into the inpatient units. And that is it.
Thank you very much, Erica. So I think your presentation and your study really demonstrate that moving toward medical homes as a form of delivering health care requires thinking not just about the medical team headed by a physician with nurses, social workers, and others, but the whole span of health professions and occupations that need to help in this process and are an important part of it. Any questions about this presentation? Yes, sir.
Can you imagine doing this in either a place like Los Angeles, where they probably have as many patients a day as you have a month, or in a different setting, such as prison medical care, where there's an enormous need for coordination with outpatient services and patients?
The question was taking this from the setting in Aurora University Medical Group to taking it up in scale to places like County USC Medical Center in Los Angeles, which has thousands and thousands of patient visits every year in the ED, and is trying to actually move the system in a similar direction, and to prison health care, where it's very episodic and not much integration of care.
Thank you for that question. And yes, that is the goal, is to scale it up to another and for it to be able to go into different settings. That's exactly one of the principles behind it, was to make it simple enough that it can be transferable to other settings and for it to make sense. You may use different people, obviously in different roles, but the principles still remain, especially the dedicated scheduling staff. That was one key that was missing, and it was really, really strategic in making that successful.
Thank you. Any other? Yes, sir.
I'm curious. I thought I saw a slide in there where you referenced, were these mainly individuals with ambulatory sensitive diagnoses, or were you able to take a look at the folks who you were successful at moving over into the primary care home versus those that you weren't? Were they a different population? Were they the high utilizers, the more medically and socially complex people, or were you able to characterize the two populations anymore?
Okay, so my research team is still working on that data, but we do have we did not necessarily focus in this case on ambulatory sensitive care. But we do see that there is a distinction. We did just get like the top 25 high utilizers, and we are starting to work through what their habits have been specifically within our system. But we do have another project, which I hope to present next year, an integrated delivery system, Wisconsin State Medicaid pilot, medical home pilot. And so in that data, those kind of high utilizers and their case management needs and all that are actually a part of that process, of which I'm a lead as well. So we are working on that.
Great. Any other questions? Any discussion, any questions for the rest of the panelists who've already presented? Yes, sir.
I had a question on the MAs.
Yes.
And you talked about the decrease in wait time for the patients, but what happened on the other end is how much more time did they actually get with the MA or the physician, or did that increase?
So the question was about medical assistance, Dr. Chapman, and about whether the decrease in the wait times actually also increased the amount of time that they were spending with a care provider.
Yes and yes. the wait times were partly just due to the whole care model and planning care. So one of the places, the New York Center, for example, had a huge percentage of their patients drop in. They never made appointments. They said, "Oh, I think I'll go get my health care today." And so they showed up unplanned and waited for hours because no one was expecting them. So part of that was just the whole planning and planning ahead so that when you got there, when the patient got there, they had, you know, been reminded to get their blood work done or get, you know, certain things done ahead of time, which systems can do. Did they spend more time with them? Yes, they did, but they did find that although most of these models initially, patient volume dropped. After they got sort of coordinated and got a system going and got things underway, that they were able to bring productivity back up because they had more people actively participating and kind of got the rhythm going. So to implement those models, though, definitely was a huge investment.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Also for the MA, did you also look at the changing role of the RN in an ambulatory setting? I'm from Chicago, and we have a fairly large health system that has right now 16 primary care sites, and we're trying to gradually phase in MAs, but we have a very strong nursing union, first of all. And also, but the role of the nurse, the role of the RN, what did you see change in the sites you looked at? As you have more MAs, what is the role of an RN in that type of setting?
So the question is about how does the role of the RN change when these more intensively trained MAs move into the care delivery process? And could you speak to that, Dr. Chapman?
Sure. We went to Chicago and looked at a large multi-site system in Chicago. I don't know if it's the same one, but RNs are as much turf protectors as physicians are, and I can say that because I'm a nurse. Sometimes it's not. There's a sense of, you know, who's doing this and what their competency is. But for the most part, these are not the tasks that the nurses were trying to hang on to. The nurses wanted to be relieved of some of these tasks so that they could do the case management. And they did a lot of the training, too. So they were usually still at the supervisory level. But they were actually pretty relieved at doing some of these things that were more protocol-based tasks that they could oversee and train for. And so they could really do their own jobs better in terms of, you know, case management and overall kind of patient guidance. So the levels, I think, continued. But initially, there's always... there's the turf protection issues come in, and particularly with MAs and the delegatory model stuff, some of the state regs aren't really clear about who can delegate to whom and supervise them.
So I'll take your question in a moment. I just had a question along those lines then. Is there a move toward professionalization of MAs with greater training, certification? I mean, we see this in health professions everywhere. They may start out with no regs, no certification, and uneven or variable training, and then they start to get a sense of their own professional potential and seek those things to protect their own turf from the next group down that might come and start to compete with them.
Right, and that's something at the center that we look at a lot, because you're right, the trajectory is, you know, grow your field, grow the training, protect it with a certification and a licensure and some credential and a nice scope of practice. So there is a movement toward that, more on the training side, but the certification licensing piece, I think, is the certification. There are some nationally known certification models, and they offer something at the competency level. But I don't think they're going to sort of grab this one. And I believe personally the main reason is because this is medical delegation, and they don't want to see it wrapped around a really nice tight sort of arena of practice. The wide openness of this is what lets it grow, flourish, escape boundaries, et cetera. So and because it's usually under the medical board, I don't see it happening.
Okay, thank you. Yes, last question.
Yes, I guess, and this is for both of the panelists up there and also the two seated out in the audience, if you think you have something to add, the role of the patient in all of this, as an economist and person studying healthcare, I've got to confess, we so often focus, I focus on the provider, even looking at a thing like the medical home. What are the docs doing? What are the nurses doing? What are the MAs doing? How do you see in what's happening on the ground in the sites that you both looked at, is the role of the patient starting to fundamentally change? Are they getting the idea they have to be their own patient care integrators first and foremost?
So the question is, please come up. The question is, with the changing delivery systems and attempts to change the delivery of care models, there's a big emphasis on the provider side, on physicians, nurses, medical assistants, schedulers, and others. Are patients starting to get the perspective and incorporate it into their own attitudes and behaviors that they need to seek care in a different way?
Yes, that's a great question. For our model, we actually start off with having that conversation with the patient in the emergency department, and we have it. We make sure that it's a part of the conversation they have with everyone that they touch in that process, from the ED schedulers to the front to the registration staff when they come, to the MA that rooms them, to the provider that sees them. So we do make an intentional effort to make sure the patient understand that. If the patients have a case manager, we actually make sure that we touch bases with that case manager so that he or she can help emphasize that as well. We have an on-site care coordinator with some of the Medicaid HMOs have contracted with us to give additional care coordination to their patients, and so that's that person's job as well. So there's a lot of effort being put into making sure that the patients themselves know that they are a part of this team and that they are responsible for making sure that their appointments are made, that they make the appointments, that if they don't, there's somebody watching them to say, hey, make sure you get here, and there's consequences if you don't. So if you don't come and there's three, you know, we have a large clinic. We need other patients that really want to be here to be able to be here. So if you don't make it for a certain number of visits, then we're just going to have to discharge you from our clinic, and we'll give you referral to additional clinics and resources, but just know that there are consequences to your actions.
Did you want to respond to that?
Really quick thing.
Okay.
One of the groups, as I recall, did this, several of the groups actually, in their health coaching model, make the patient set their own health goals. Now, this is you know, it's probably like just the entry level of what you're talking about in terms of taking charge. But, you know, you come in, you have a number of chronic illnesses, you know, high risk factors, working with the coach to set your own goals and a timeline and getting the help to achieve those. And the feedback as you move along the way. So kind of bits and pieces of that, but I personally think we have a long way to go in that.
Well, I want to thank all four presenters. I'm Rick Brown, and on behalf of the medical care section, I'd like to thank them for their presentations. And thank you for joining us.